I'm going to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and as I mentioned, we are in 40 days of prayer. And there's two things we're really going after in 40 days of prayer. One is for a specific personal miracle, and I hope that you've already decided what that is you're going after personally. I hope that daily you've been praying for that. We encouraged you. You may want to consider adding some fasting to that as God leads you. But I am praying for you. I am praying for that during these 40 days, whatever it is you're praying for, it's going to happen. And so be praying for others, and let's just believe that we're going to have lots and lots of amazing testimonies as we go after a personal miracle. And then secondly, we are praying for a church-wide refreshing. I hope you've been praying for that. And we've based this on Acts 3:19, that times of refreshing would come from the presence of the Lord. And I want you to notice where times of refreshing come from. They come from the presence of the Lord, which means if we want to see more refreshing than we're experiencing, then we need more of the presence of God than we're experiencing. And so that's what we're praying for. Please daily pray for that for our church family. And remember, last week if you were here, we talked about this, and we talked about how we need to realize that when God's refreshing comes, it may not look like we think it will. So it's really important that we let God do it however he chooses. Remember that when more of God's presence comes, that presence will attract people who need what that presence has to offer. So expect more people with more needs to come. And when that happens, welcome people, love on people, accept people, and let's see what God will do. Remember also that more of God's presence tends to stir up stuff that isn't pleasant. But it's good, because once it's stirred up and brought to the surface, then it can be skimmed off the surface, leaving us with a greater purity in our lives. So let's go after it. Another, I've mentioned this disclaimer in each message in this series. I'm going to mention it again. And that is that simply this: your flesh hates this whole series, because the flesh typically does not like prayer, and especially it doesn't like fasting. So expect in this series some inner conflict between your flesh and your spirit, because your spirit resonates with more prayer, more fasting. So just crucify the flesh, yield to the spirit, and let God do in you whatever he wants to do. I'm going to ask you a question, and the question is the title of the message today, and that is, what is the greatest secret to answered prayer? Think about that for a moment. What is the greatest secret to answered prayer? Well, we could probably answer that in a variety of ways and give evidence for whatever our answer is to that. But I want to suggest to you that if not at the top of the list, really close to the top is persevering prayer. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And what I mean by persevering prayer is simply not giving up until the answer comes. And I want you to think about something. How many prayers have you and I prayed that did not get answered simply because we quit asking? How many prayers have you and I prayed that if we would have just kept at it a little longer, the answer would have come? But how many of us maybe stopped just one prayer or so too soon? Now, why do we at times give up praying? Let me give you four reasons. One of them is we forget. We start praying for something, and next thing we know, life happens and, you know, whatever, and we suddenly realize, if we realize at all, oh, I've stopped praying about that. I didn't intend to, I just forgot. And you know where this can really happen a lot is when it comes to you agreeing to pray for others. Somebody says to you, will you pray for me? Or they share something going on in their life and you say, I will be praying for you, but do you? We have good intentions too, but I think often we say that and that's the last that we hear of it. One of the things I do to kind of help prevent that is I usually say, can I pray for you right now? And then If they're okay with that, pray right then. But you may need to write things down and then look at them regularly so that you don't forget, because sometimes the bottom line is we just forget. A second reason why we sometimes quit praying is we decide it's just not worth it. Maybe whatever it is we're praying isn't that important to us, not that big a deal, and we like, well, you know, if I really have to pray and pray and pray before it happens, I don't know if I really want to do that, and we just decide it's not worth it. A third reason is we lose hope or faith or both that God will do it. Sometimes we can psych our faith up in a sense, you know, for a short term, the sort of a faith sprint, but if the answer doesn't come, and sometimes even you've had this happen where it seems like it's going the other direction, the more I pray, the worse it gets, and so you just sort of lose hope that this thing's ever going to get better. You just feel like, I don't have any faith for this anymore. Yeah, if God would have, you know, if God was going to do it, he probably would have by now. And we just give up because we no longer have faith or hope that the situation will change. And then the last one, closely related to the previous one, is maybe we get to the place where we assume that it must not be God's will. I mean, if it were God's will, he would have answered by now. And so, you know, if it's not his will, then there's no use going after it. And so those are some of the reasons why we've all given up at times praying before the answer came. But I want to ask you a question. Whatever it is you're going after, what if you knew that if you did not give up, it would happen? What if you knew that? What if you knew if you just stay in there long enough, it will happen? Would that encourage you enough to keep going? If you knew that if you just don't stop, the answer will come, would it be worth it to you? Now, some of you may be thinking, but why doesn't God just answer my prayers right away? I mean, that'd be a lot easier. I mean, is prayer me trying to talk God into doing something he doesn't want to do? Does God just like making our lives difficult? Or why sometimes does it seem like we have to persevere? Well, we're going to look at that. But I'd like to start with the parable of the persistent widow in Luke 18, beginning with verse 1. I'm reading out of the New King James. It says, "Then Jesus spoke a parable to them." Now, a parable is a story may or may not have actually happened. It's more of an illustration. But a parable is about things we get in the natural so that that story can become an illustration of a spiritual truth that we may not understand. But because we understand the story, we're then able to apply that to the spiritual realm. So here's the story, or here's the purpose of this particular story. It says that we ought always to pray and not lose heart. So right away we know here's the purpose of this story, a story that isn't going to be too unusual in terms of our understanding it, but here's the purpose of it, to show us that we should always pray and never give up until the answer comes. And I want to read that verse in two other translations. The contemporary English version says it this way: Jesus told his disciples a story about how they should keep on praying and never give up. And that's the whole sermon today. Keep on praying and never give up. That's it. If you get that, you got the sermon today. Here's the Living Bible says it this way: one day, Jesus told his disciples a story to illustrate their need for constant prayer and show them that they must keep praying until the answer comes. There's the sermon today. Keep praying until the answer comes. If you can get that in your spirit and walk that out, then you've got this message. But I'm not going to let you out that easy. So let's jump in and look at what is the story here and how does it illustrate this need for praying with persistence. So let's keep reading. Jesus said, "There was a certain judge in a city who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, 'Get justice for me for my adversary.'" So let's consider the characters in the story and why Jesus may have chosen who he chose. First of all, there's a widow, and she has a need. She needs legal representation. She has an adversary, somebody opposing her in some way. We don't know what it is, but she needs help. And I believe that she represents you and I and the help we often need from God. The story implies that she doesn't have a lot of leverage in her corner. There's no indication that she has some position in society that will enable her to put some pressure on this judge. There's no indication if she just offers him more money. Really, she has no husband. She's a widow. We don't have anything else about any families. And so here is a person like you and I with a need and not much leverage to get what she wants. Then we have the other side of that picture, and that is the judge. And the judge has the position, the authority to give her what she needs. But we have a problem with this judge, and that is he doesn't fear God or care about people. Now, that's a problem because he's not moved by, well, the Bible says. He's not moved by, well, this is the right thing to do, because he doesn't care about the right thing to do. Also, he doesn't care about people, so he doesn't care about her situation and that she should get justice. She's being taken advantage of. So he doesn't care about any of that. And so sometimes maybe you feel like that. Sometimes you might feel like I have a need. I don't have much leverage to get this need met. And the opposition I'm up against seems like, you know, there's no fear of God there. There's no caring about justice. And it just seems like there's no way for me to get what I need done. And sometimes we feel that way maybe even when it comes to prayer. Well, let's keep reading and see what happens. Verse 4 says, and he would not. In other words, she asks the question, will you represent me? And he says, no. No, I will not. Now, how would you have reacted in that situation? Maybe you would have said, well, I tried. I don't have any other leverage. I can't offer him money. I can't pressure him any other way. I don't have any other resource. I guess I'm just stuck. I guess I'm just going to have this need continue and it won't be met. No more hope. I'm just going to give up. A lot of people probably would have done that because they didn't recognize any other resource they could fall back on that might get them what they want. Now, notice it says that he would not for a while. For a while. Well, that tells us that she didn't give up quite that easily. She asked again, and he said no again. And she asked again, and he said no again. This went on for a while. Now, notice what happens next. He would not for a while, but afterward, he said within himself, she's got him talking to himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming, she wear me out. That is an amazing story. Because he still doesn't care about God or the right thing to do. He still could care less about her situation. But what he does care about is his own peace and sanity and getting his life back. And he's thinking, this lady will not say no. And if I don't give her what she wants, she is going to wear me out. So I'm just going to chalk this one up as a loss, give her what she wants so I can get my life back and get on with being selfish and self-centered. So I want you to notice something really amazing here. And that is really what this story comes down to is her asking one more time, then he said no. Think about that. The story comes down to her deciding, all I have to do is ask one more time, then he says no. So finally, the one time she asked, he didn't say no. She beat him. She was one up on him, and that's what it took. And what we're really seeing in this story is how much God pays attention to perseverance. How valuable that is to God. That is the only resource she had to leverage and get what she wanted. It wasn't her need. It wasn't anything else. But the one thing she had that she didn't let go of is I can be persistent. I may not be able to buy my way out of this. I can't threaten. I can't do whatever. But the one thing I can do is I can be persistent. And I'll do that as long as there is a breath in me. And it got her what she wanted. And you may feel like, I don't know a lot of Bible verses. I don't know that I have a lot of faith. I don't know that I have the right last name. I don't know that I have the right education. I don't know that I have an influential position in society. I don't know if I have the right career. I don't know if I have the leverage I need to get what I want. But no matter who you are, the one thing you have, if you will exercise it, is perseverance. The one thing every one of you have access to is just don't give up. Just don't quit. Let's keep reading. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. So Jesus is wanting us to hear in this story a message that we can apply to our life. What is that message? He says, verse 7, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them. In this story, God is not being compared to the unjust judge. He is being contrasted to the unjust judge. See, the unjust judge does not fear God, doesn't care about people, and he has no connection with this lady. She's a stranger. And what God is basically saying is, I'm not that guy. What God is really saying to us is simply this. If an unjust judge who doesn't care about people will give this total stranger what she asked for just because she's persistent, how much more will God, who is just, who is compassionate, and who sees us not as some stranger wanting something, but who sees us as his children, how much more will God respond to his children who cry out to him with perseverance than even this unjust judge would? Now, I know some of you may be thinking, but wait a minute. It says, who cry out day and night. And the question still remains, why do I have to cry out day and night? Can't once be enough? And it says, though he bears long with them. Some of you are still maybe thinking, but why the bear long with them? And we're going to get to that. That'll be the last part of the message. But let's keep reading. Jesus says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Now, that may seem like, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. Cry out day and night, he bearing with them. That doesn't sound like speedily to me. Yet it says he will avenge them speedily. Let me explain it this way. Speedilies come after a season of persistence. I'm thinking of the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, 1 through 4. It says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. But what was the context of that suddenly? It was 10 days of prayer. 10 days of prayer, then a suddenly. So it may be that God will require a season of persevering for you, but once that season comes to an end, then a suddenly may happen in your life. Then a speedily may come, but it may not come until you first persevere for whatever season is needed. And then it says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Maybe when I asked the question, what's the greatest secret to answered prayer? Some of you may have thought, well, faith, I think, is it. And that would be a good argument. You could certainly present that case. I would suggest to you that it's the same subject. Faith and perseverance aren't two different things. They're different dimensions of the same thing. Notice Jesus didn't say, when the Son of Man comes, will he find persevering prayer? even though that's what the story is about, he said, will he really find faith? So what I want to suggest to you is that one of the characteristics of faith is persevering prayer. You know, physically, we have what people would call fast twitch fibers or slow twitch fibers. People with fast twitch fibers, they're better at sprinting, for example. People with slow twitch fibers, they're not so great at sprinting. They're good at long distance. So we each may be wired differently physically. I want to suggest to you that there's a slow twitch faith and a fast twitch faith. The fast twitch faith is faith that kind of rises up for a quick sprint. We go after it, we get it, and then, you know, we enjoy whatever it is that our faith procured. And at times, maybe that's been your experience. You've prayed and something happened and boom, wow, that was wonderful. But I would also suggest, in addition to that, that there's a slow twitch faith that is not a sprint faith, but is a marathon faith. There's a dimension of faith where if it doesn't happen right away, you just get ready for the long haul, whatever that's going to take, and you go after it. And that's just as much faith as the sprint faith. And I think God is wanting to develop both of those dimensions in us. Now, I want to go to a second parable. This one, it's not called a parable, but it is presented in a very similar way, like a story. And it's basically the same message, but giving it to us from maybe a little different vantage point. So let's begin with verse 5. Jesus said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine has come on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. Now let's just say that you and I are the guy in the story. And it's helpful to understand the culture of our context. So obviously, back then, it wasn't like you get a text, I'm going to drop in for a visit, or a phone call. No means of that kind of communication. And so what the context is unexpected company. And back then, it was far more common just to drop in on people without having to be, you know, like arranged ahead of time. Some of you may come from cultures where that's more normal. So it wasn't unusual or considered rude to drop in on family or friends unannounced. And so that's exactly what happens. Only it's kind of late at night. The other thing that's helpful to understand about their culture is that hospitality was a huge core value. I mean, you just, if somebody dropped in, even strangers, you were going to be hospitable. That's just how life worked. That was just important. And that meant you feed them, even if, you know, you're poor or whatever. So here's these unexpected guests. They drop in late at night. You didn't know they were coming. You have no food, but you want to offer them hospitality. Now, the other dynamic is they did not have 24/7 grocery stores that they could run to like you and I have today. So there's a problem. Either I can't show hospitality or I got to go get food from somewhere and there are no stores open. So my only option is I'm going to go to a neighbor's. Yeah, they're sleeping already probably, but hey, I really want to be hospitable. So you go and you knock on the neighbor's door asking, and your friends, you've had a good relationship over the years, so you're hoping, well, he's going to realize my situation. He'd want me to do the same if the situation was reversed, but let's look at the answer. He answers and says, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. Now, again, you'd have a choice. Oh, okay. Sorry to bother you. I guess we just won't feed our guests or we'll try another neighbor or what I mean. You don't have a whole lot of other options here. Now, he probably did not expect that denial of the request. Now, again, it's helpful to get that culture a little bit. You know, we're not talking like each kid had their own bedroom, you know, with box spring mattress, memory foam, you know, I mean, no, we're talking in most cases there, we're talking probably the whole house was one room, hard floor, probably rolled out like a bamboo rug, and all of the family stretched out on it, and that's what bed was. So when he says, my children are in bed with me, that's the meaning. And again, bed meaning probably a rolled out little like bamboo rug kind of a thing. Now, why does he turn him down? Well, maybe he's thinking, if I get up, turn the light on, start getting food, it's going to wake the kids up. Maybe the kids are not easy to get to go to sleep. And maybe he's like, if the kids get up at this time, it's going to be really hard to get them back to bed. Or maybe reality is this guy just wants sleep. You know, and that he's using his kids as an excuse, but bottom line might be, I just want to sleep. Leave me alone. So he says no, and then let's keep reading and see what happens. Verse 8, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Now, I'm blown away by that story, and here's why. In that story, and I don't want to press this too far, but in that story, persistence trumped relationship. I mean, isn't that amazing? The guy's like, I'm not helping you because we're friends. In fact, our friendship is a little stressed about now because you are trying to wake me up. So I'm not answering because we're buddies. I'm answering because I want to get back to sleep. I'm answering because I know you are not going to quit knocking and asking until I give you what you want. So how many loaves was that you wanted? Here, take it. Then I can get back to bed. Again, that is so incredible that in that story, persistence trumped friendship. And again, we don't want to press that too far, but I think the main thing is God is just wanting us to see how powerful persistence is, and it's the one thing every one of us can do and do have if we'll just go with it. Well, let's look at the application Jesus brings, beginning with verse 9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. So the whole point of the story is be like that guy. Ask and you will receive, just like he did. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, wait a minute, I asked and I didn't receive. Well, the Greek is very interesting in this text in terms of its tense, because the Greek actually means ask and keep on asking. In fact, that's how the Amplified renders it. So I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. So I say to you, ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you shall find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door shall be open to you. For everyone who asks and keeps on asking receives, and he who seeks and keeps on seeking finds, and to him who knocks and keeps on knocking, the door shall be open. So we might not receive by asking unless we ask and keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Because the first time he asked, the answer was no, but he didn't stop. He kept on asking until he received. And that's why later Paul writes it this way in Ephesians 6:18. He says, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication. Praying always with all perseverance. Now let's begin to draw this thing to a close by looking at this last question. Why does God sometimes require perseverance? Why doesn't he just answer our prayers right away? Again, are we trying to get God to do something he doesn't want to do? Does God just enjoy making life challenging? Why do we sometimes need to persevere? And I want to give you about six reasons. Number one is that we would get spoiled if God gave us whatever we asked for immediately. Those of you who are parents, you know this, that if every time your child asked for something, you immediately gave it to them, no matter what it was, you know that wouldn't be good for them. You know they would be spoiled. They would become more and more self-centered, ask for more and more selfish things. You would notice less character and those kinds of things. Now, I know you and I think that we wouldn't get spoiled. It's just everybody else would. But I think reality is, for me, if everything I prayed God answered immediately, I think I probably would get, I'd probably start asking for all kinds of selfish things just because I knew I would get them right away. And it probably would hinder character development. So that's one reason. A second reason is to weed out some of the more superficial prayer requests. I mentioned at the beginning that two of the reasons we quit praying are we forget and we decide it's just not worth it. Well, when God at times requires perseverance, it causes us to weed out things that really aren't that important. If this is going to take me really going after it, is it worth it? Is this a high enough priority? Is this important enough? Is this something that would benefit me sufficiently to go after with that level of perseverance? So it helps to weed out some of our less or our more superficial prayer requests. Number three, if we always got what we prayed for immediately, we would never develop spiritual endurance. Let me give you a physical example. Yesterday, I did a 6-mile run. I do that about once every week or two. And then I usually do two other runs a week. One might be about 3 miles, and then one might be intervals, shorter distances, faster, repeated. Now, because of doing that over time, I have the endurance that I can do that. And I hope I will be able to maintain that as I continue to get older. But because of that, if I were called upon physically to do something that required that level of endurance, hopefully I would be prepared because I have built up that endurance by persevering. Now, I don't really enjoy that really a whole lot. It's not like it's fun, but I enjoy the results of it. So I make myself do it. Well, if I didn't run hardly at all or never distances anywhere near that, and then I were called upon to do something that required that level of endurance, I probably wouldn't be at a place where I could do that because I've not made myself do that. I've not built that up by challenging myself in that way. Well, let me bring that over to the spiritual. Sometimes our prayers may require 6-mile prayer endurance. But if we've never had to endure, if we've never had to ask and keep asking, keep seeking, knock and keep knocking, we may not have developed that 6-mile prayer endurance that's needed. And if we don't get the answer right away or real soon, we may not have that inner resource that enables us to keep on asking. And I know we don't like this statement, but God is far more interested in our ongoing development than he is our immediate comfort. We want the answer right away because then we get it and life goes on and it's more comfortable. But God is far more interested in developing us, in maturing us, far more than giving us a quick answer so we're more comfortable. So are we willing to go there? Are we willing to let God, in a sense, have us in spiritual training, stretching us so that we can grow and mature? Number four, which is closely related, perseverance produces character and spiritual maturity. So as we are in situations where we're required to persevere, it increases our character. In other words, it makes us more like Jesus. It makes us better people. Again, it may not be fun. We may not enjoy it, but the results of it are worth it. Let me give you a couple of scriptures. Romans 5, 3, and 4. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Do you do that? Do you glory in your tribulations? When you're going through a tough time, do you say, oh, praise God, this is going to be good? Well, why would we do that? It says, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character and character hope. So when we're facing difficult situations, we are forced, if we're going to not give up, if we're going to grow, we're forced to exercise our faith, to keep asking, keep persevering. And what does it say that produces? Character and hope. Let me give you one more passage. 2 Peter 1:5-9. Giving all diligence, add to your faith perseverance. Now there's a whole list there. I didn't put them all in. I just wanted you to see perseverance, but it's in the company of a bunch of other stuff. But we're to add to our faith things like perseverance. It says, for if these things are yours and abound, things like perseverance, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, when you and I develop qualities like perseverance, we're going to be more fruitful in life. Life's going to work better. We're going to be more productive for the kingdom of God. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness. If all we think about is an answer right away or I'm giving up, we're looking at things too short-sighted. And there's a blindness in there that we need to be removed. A fifth reason is perseverance is often needed when praying for something for someone else which isn't currently what they want. Let me say it this way. God has created all of us. One of the greatest gifts he's given all of us is a free will. And generally speaking, God does not violate people's free will. So let me just give you an example or two. Suppose you're praying for somebody's salvation who doesn't want to be saved. Or maybe somebody you know has an addiction. You're praying for them to be free of that addiction, but they like their addiction. Or they don't even admit they have an addiction. Well, now we have an issue because they have a will that God is not likely to quickly violate. Well, you might say, well, then does that mean I shouldn't pray? No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is get ready for needing to be persistent. So if I'm praying for something for somebody that they don't want, how's God going to work that out? Well, a couple of ways. One is by the Holy Spirit beginning to bring conviction and revelation. So as you pray and persevere in prayer, the Holy Spirit will begin to open their eyes and begin to bring conviction. And often that's a process. Again, because God isn't going to violate their free will. The other thing that can happen is as you pray, God may bring about circumstances in their life to put pressure on their will. And often what happens over time is enough pressure on their will, enough of the work of the Holy Spirit, and finally they choose out of their own free will to bring their will in submission to God's purpose for their life. But often that's a long process. And that's why some of you, you know, you prayed for somebody to be saved and it took 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Some of you, you're still praying. You're wondering, should I keep praying? Yes, keep praying. So realize when we're talking about another person's will entering the equation, often persistence is needed for God to do that work until they bring their will in subjection to his will. I'm going to add one last one. This is not in your notes, but it's on the screen. You may want to write this down. And that is because there are spiritual forces at work. There is an incredible story. I'm not going to read it, but in Daniel 10:12-13, where Daniel starts praying for something. The answer doesn't come right away, so he keeps praying. The Bible tells us he prayed for 21 days in a row until the answer came. Now, when the answer came, it came in really a pretty incredible way that gives us some insight. An angel actually appears to Daniel and explains to him what was going on. And here's what he said, and I'm paraphrasing, but the angel said, Daniel, we heard you day one. In fact, Daniel, day one, God said, do it. And I started bringing the answer day one. I was on my way bringing you the answer, but I had a little problem, Daniel. And that is, I got held up by a spiritual principality, and that principality was trying to block you getting the answer, and we did some battle, and wow, it was a tough one. In fact, God had to send reinforcements. The angel, this is Michael, I believe, Michael or Gabriel, one of those two came. In response to your perseverance, sent reinforcements, and then we broke through, and so here's the answer 21 days later. Now, that is amazing. So prayer is not always just us and God. It's not always just somebody else's will. But we also need to realize that there are spiritual forces at work trying to block your prayers. We call it spiritual warfare. Now, the text doesn't say it specifically, but I believe it implies that had Daniel not kept praying, the reinforcements would not have come. If Daniel had kept praying, I don't think, or if he would have quit praying, I don't think that answer would have ever made it through the spiritual opposition. And that's why Ephesians 6:12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, your problem isn't people. We wrestle against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. And those forces are trying to hold your prayers back. And that kind of ties us into the beginning of the message. You just have to outlast those spiritual forces. You just have to ask one more time than those spiritual forces say no. Bottom line is you and I have to persevere beyond what the devil is going to persevere. So it was in that context, just a few verses later, where we read Ephesians 6:18, where Paul said, praying with all perseverance. In the context, it was because there are spiritual forces trying to block your prayers. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and I'm going to ask Laura Lee to come and any of the worship team available. And I really, as I was preparing for today, felt like we should take just a little bit of time before we go and to do exactly that, to persevere. So what is the greatest secret to answered prayer? Well, certainly at the top or very close to the top is persevering in prayer. And notice Jesus said that. That's what the two stories, that's what Jesus said. Pray and don't give up. So whatever miracle you're going after personally, the word today is simply keep praying, keep asking. Don't give up. The answer will eventually come if you don't give up. And in terms of church-wide refreshing, let's keep asking. Let's not give up. So here's what I'd like to do in closing. We're just going to sing a song or two. And the focus isn't so much the song. The focus is let's just take a few minutes and persevere. So whatever it is you're praying during the worship, you can sing along with the worship team if you'd like. But the other thing you can do if you would like is you can just, in an atmosphere of worship, keep asking. Ask a little bit more. We don't want to just talk about prayer in these 40 days, but we want to do it. So two things to pray as we close the service. One is whatever your personal miracle is, ask again. Keep asking. Keep knocking. And then would you also join me before we go and continue to agree with me asking for more of God's presence so that refreshing comes. So worship team, lead us. And right where you stand, just persevere, press in. If you feel like you want to come and do that in the front, you're welcome to come and just come to the altar area if you'd like. Either way is fine. But let's just take a few minutes and persevere in prayer today, whatever things are on your heart. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Oh, we ask, we seek, we knock. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
Bring us. now for every person here and whatever it is they're agreeing for in prayer for a personal miracle. Lord, we just lift up our brothers and sisters today. Let the answer come. Let the answer come. Lord, give us whatever perseverance we need, Lord, that we will ask and keep on asking if need be, that we will seek and keep on seeking if need be, that we will knock and keep on knocking. Lord, I pray that as we ask, we will receive, that as we seek, we will find, that as we knock, doors are going to be open. Lord, give us that perseverance. Lord, let us be like that widow who would not give up until the answer came. Lord, let us be like that neighbor who wouldn't stop asking until he got what he needed. Lord, put that in us today, that kind of perseverance. Lord, that we would not give up, even if it seems like things are going the other way. God, that we will hang in there tough, that we will continue to persevere, that we would not go by what we see, but that we would go by what we believe, that we would go by your character, your nature, oh, your promises, your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I pray, God, that you will send a church-wide refreshing. God, that you will send a season of revival. God, that you will breathe on us in a way that transforms us and in a way that makes us more effective in our community. Lord, we need a church-wide refreshing. We need more of your presence, oh God. Lord, may it just continue to increase day by day, week by week. Oh, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are giving us that endurance, that perseverance. Thank you, Lord, you are increasing our faith and our character. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are taking our faith to a higher level. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. We give you praise. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing one more song, and then that'll be our dismissal. So you're welcome to head out anytime you'd like. Any prayer team serving today, make your way to the front. And before you go, if you want somebody to pray for you, have a team or two that'll be ready to pray for you. So persevere till the answer comes. That's the message today. Run with it. Believe God to sustain you in it.